You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Up in traffic, we have Esmeralda Leon. Rob Martier is watching your news and telling us what's happening as it happens. And we also have Michael Heideman. He prefers to go by Mike. So do we do quotation marks, Mike? I think it's Mike. I think we say Mike and just
I think it's just Mike, yeah. Or his share
handle.
Twitter handle, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Are you going to call me Cher now?
No. What's your Twitter handle for when you tweet at Cher?
It can never be released.
Right Cher.
I have to find it now. I have to go through all of Cher's.
This is going
to
be a listener adventure to find my Cher tweet.
Tweet at us at
when was the last time?
Cher.
Yes. When was the last time you tweeted at Cher, just out of curiosity?
Probably summer of 2009.
Really?
There was Twitter back then?
I love that you still brought it up then. Yes, there was Twitter back. Was there Twitter back? Yeah.
Apparently.
I just celebrated my 8-year friendship on Facebook with Andrea Darlis, even though we've been friends for longer. We've been Facebook friends for 8 years. So we got that little video of all the things we've done, including like the Pride Parade and events at WGN, including reading like our Christmas. We did the Dickens Christmas Carol twice. So we have photos from both of those. We did it 3 years ago and again this year. So that was fun. And today was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This is a celebration I think a lot of people... You know, you can go ahead and do it with, I guess, with mattress sales. People are trying to figure out something to do after the New Year's. But, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend and the conversations that have sort of emerged as a result of the, you know, our president-elect about to be inaugurated on Friday. The Twitter war that erupted because, is it Representative John Lewis? Is he a representative or a congressman?
Representative. Congressman.
Has said that Donald Trump does not believe he's a legitimate president-elect and said he would not be attending the inauguration. Donald Trump launched into tweets at John Lewis saying that, you know, go take care of your district. There's a lot of crime. It's really bad.
Less talk, more action.
Right. And, you know, whether or not it's a complete disregard, whether he knew or not the participation that John Lewis had in civil rights marches, including being narrowly escaping with his life at a protest.
Still has the scars.
We kind of take for granted a lot of the things that people fought for, not just in the 60s, but I mean, over the decades, over the centuries, what people have fought for, what it has meant to volunteer, to serve, to protest, to say enough is enough. And Martin Luther King was one of those people who rose and said, I am going to speak out regardless of the consequences. And ultimately, the consequence was his own life being taken. And we have some audio from some of his speeches. Let's go start with this one.
One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
Again, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, observing his birthday. Officially, his birthday was on January, I believe it was on January 15th. But again, the national holiday, the American federal holiday, marks his birthday today, the third Monday of January of each year. There were several states in our country that are moving to combine Martin Luther King Day with other observances, including Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Esmeralda, I don't know if you heard about this, but a move toward saying Great Americans Day in order to observe, and this is the bizarreness of this, I think cannot go unnoticed or unremarked on, which is observing both Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Robert E. Lee, the general who led the Confederate Army in the Civil War. It just seems like, you know, if you want to go ahead and have that observance, I don't think you combine that.
Well, I'm just like, what? There's 365 days. I think they can make... them separate.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
There was a Biloxi, Mississippi, the town hall tweeted out, we will be closed. There'll be no business today in observance of Great Americans Day. So it was, and which they immediately removed because there was some backlash against that. This is such a bizarre time we're living in that we cannot acknowledge that Martin Luther King Jr. represents nonviolent activism, that what he accomplished, what he inspired others to do, to continue to do, is remarkable to me. How you doing, Paul? You seem at a loss for words.
No, I'm just, first of all, I want the record to reflect that
off the air,
I guessed the three states without having no knowledge of what you just talked about.
Right. So, Alabama, Mississippi. I don't know. Why do those strike you as the states that we
Arkansas
mostly...
was a little, my third guess, but Alabama was first. I don't know. I just seem that they would be the least inclined to appreciate Martin Luther King Jr. But I was a big fan of his. And, when I was a kid, you had to pick in debate. We had to be our favorite historian, and I was Martin Luther King for my debate class. I got an A in that class. No big deal.
I would say that growing up in my household, in my neighborhood, it was not Martin Luther King Jr. was not, he wasn't besmirched, or, you know, my dad didn't say bad things about him. He just wasn't someone who was held up as somebody that you should admire. I would say it wasn't probably until high school when I left the neighborhood and was around a larger group of people, you know, different neighborhoods reflected, that I started, actually in college too, I saw a speech when he marched on the housing situation in Chicago, where, you know, there was literally a blackout, right? They were not allowing black people to live in certain neighborhoods or to rent or to own. And he was giving a speech. He was saying to reporters that I'm not here to be a martyr. I'm not, you know, I want nonviolent protest. I want to get this across, you know, in ways that's to inspire, to move people's hearts and minds. And then Jesse Jackson said, he was basically saying, bring the violence.
Yeah. They threw rocks at him.
Yeah. They threw rocks at them. Oh, yeah. There
he
was
hit.
Oh, it was
in
it was,
Chicago.
Michael, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's just incredible, you know, to see, you know, the amount of change that's gone on in America today, and to think back, you know, there was a time when people came together to fight something that's just so obvious nowadays, right?
It's obvious now, but yet it's obvious and yet people resent. I think that one of the strange things, and this is, I have to imagine what was going on in the 1940s, the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, when there was a plea to, like, please let us have equal education, equal access to housing, equal access to jobs for pay, that there is this feeling of, like, well, I'm not a bad person, so I'm going to get angry that you are asking for this. That seems to be happening again now. Once I was even talking about catcalling, Esmeralda. We've talked about this before, when women are addressed in a way that, like, we feel smaller and we don't want to be talked to. And people are like, what's wrong? Why do you have to make it a big deal? And you're like, because I'm telling you that it's painful or uncomfortable. And when a group of people rises up and says, this is happening to us, I don't know why the reaction has to be, I'm not doing that. Well, clearly there's a large portion of the population
who is
disenfranchised, who is in pain. Let's hear another a clip from Martin Luther King Jr.
My dear and abiding friend, Ralph Abernathy, to all of the distinguished Americans seated here on the rostrum, my friends and co-workers of the state of Alabama, and to all of the freedom-loving people who have assembled here this afternoon from all over our nation and from all over the world. Last Sunday, more than 8,000 of us started on a mighty walk from Selma, Alabama. We have walked through desolate valleys and across trying hills. We have walked on meandering highways and rested our bodies on rocky byways.
Some of our faces are burned from the outpourings of the sweltering sun. Some have literally slept in the mud. We have been drenched by the rain. Our bodies are tired. Our feet are somewhat sore. But today, as I stand before you and think back over that great march, I can say, as Sister Pollock said, a 70-year-old Negro woman who lived in this community during the bus boycott, and one day she was asked while walking if she didn't want to ride, and when she answered no, the person said, well, aren't you tired? With her ungrammatical profundity, she said, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested.
That's right.
And that's, that really is, to the bottom of it, is to keep going. That no matter how tired you are, how hard the battle is to keep going. And Martin Luther King Jr., you know, really fostered in response to so much that was going on in the South when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, and they were able to, you know, make that a moment of a defining instance of, we will not take this anymore. I mean, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and there are elements throughout our country that do want to peel some of that back. And you can say that it's not happening. But when I sit in Springfield and I see legislators walk in and make jokes about, oh, I should buy a round of drinks for the vote suppressors. You know what? It is happening. And there are parts of our country where we need to keep the battle going. And a battle may sound too strong to you, but if you're not diligent, if you're not vigilant, if there isn't someone to step forward and say, enough, please stop, then people will take over the rights. My husband and I were talking about this morning. You know, there has always been a portion of the population, and we're not saying you. When you hear these words and you think, I'm not doing that, that's fine. And thank you for not being that person. Thank you for not being hurtful or harmful or being racist or prejudiced. You have to admit that there are people who are, that they continue to want to peel back rights and access. And there has always been a portion of the population who doesn't want to pay for labor, that doesn't want to pay for, doesn't want to contribute in a way that is helpful and beneficial to the people around them. And these are the things that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And today, many people had the day off in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther King Jr. was born in 1929, January 15th, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia, and has taken a place in American history as someone who has inspired so many people to participate. I think that's really the bottom line, is to stand up and point and say, this is not right. This is unjust.
Not just say something, but do something instead of just complaining about it on social medias.
Well, and that's my question to you, Paul. You were mentioning that you had picked him as someone that you look up to.
I picked him as the guy I had to act like him and memorize all the speeches.
What do you think it would take for someone to cut through all the clutter, the noise, to speak up? I mean, because we haven't had someone at that level in the United States who has commanded that sort of
for social justice. I don't know. I think right now a big thing is going to be somebody who isn't political that's respected by.
Because he wasn't political.
No.
He was a minister who was able to eloquently use both the Bible and his understanding of sociology. He had a sociology degree. Mm-hmm. His understanding of humanity and his sense of justice in a way that I don't think anybody as a speaker has been able to encapsulate since.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's going to be anyone like him in our generation. That's why he's got a day.
He's got his
honor, except in 43 states.
Let's listen to another one of his speeches that we all know.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I can see why that would be the man that you would look up to as a kid. My son looks up to Martin Luther King Jr. And I think it's a call now. I think as important as for people who feel threatened by anything in the whether it's their doubts about our new president who will be inaugurated on Friday, because the press seems as though it's being threatened, I don't even think it seems as though it's being threatened. It seems to be blatantly expressed that
they might have a separate room now.
They're going to kick out the press. But also, be true to what you say on paper. Be true to what, as Americans, we have said on paper, right? We are called often to remember what the Second Amendment is, and that's an absolute right. Well, so is the freedom to protest, the freedom of the press, the freedom of speech, right?
And First Amendment, it's before the second
first,
one.
It comes first. Mm-hmm. And in that speech, he says, I could see in countries where there is totalitarianism, in China and in Russia. More after this on 720 WGN.